There were totally 28 chapters in the book of Acts, but the later part of the book of Acts will be faster because it mentioned about the three missionary trips of the book of Acts. We are going to reserve about 1 or 2 hours to study the next topic, the reading of the book of Acts from an evangelical perspective. Before we go to that topic, we would like to go through chapter by chapter to learn some essential teachings from the book of Acts. And last night we did mention about chapter 3, the first miracle and its result in page 11. The healing of the paralytic. There are some spiritual meaning, paralytic is the one who cannot practice the truth. You know what is right, but you cannot practice what is right. You know what is wrong, but you cannot refrain from doing what is wrong. It's very similar to a person who is paralyzed. That's what Paul lamented in the book of Romans chapter 7. He had a very good conscience, tried to be good, but his conscience always condemned him because he was unable to practice the right and not to do what was wrong. Paul was deeply troubled by his own sinful nature until one day he met Jesus, and his life was controlled by Jesus Christ. His life was renewed by Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, Paul experienced the freedom in the salvation of Jesus Christ. So if you have a feeling that you want to practice what is right, and if you cannot do that, and are controlled by sinful nature, then Jesus Christ is the answer. You have to draw yourself near to Him, and He will enable you to be a free person. And this paralytic needs somebody to carry. And so a person who cannot practice the words will become the burden of the church. Do you remember Jesus, time of Jesus Christ? It was a paralyzed person being carried to Him. So many people are surround Jesus Christ, so they have to carry the person on top of the roof, and they have to in the roof they have to take away the pieces of the roof and drop the person in front of Jesus Christ. So if a church and many members who are weak in the faith, then church have to spend a lot of time to take care of them spiritually. Since we have very limited human resources, if we spend too much time in the pastoring work, take care of the sheep, then the resources reserved for the evangelical work is limited. So the pastoring work is the foundation of evangelical work. If we cannot do a job in pastoring work, every church member has plagued by problem. Then you're going to see the church cannot grow because we'll consume all our energy, all our effort to resolve our daily problem. The result of the miracles. The first one is the name of God being glorified in chapter 3, verse 9. When a lot of people witness the person was cured, then they glorify the name of God. And after the miracle happened, the testimony is full of power. So chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, Peter testified, "The one you killed has resurrected." and he is the Savior, and he is the one who healed this paralytic. So that message was very powerful, because that message accompanied by a life testimony, living testimony, is the person being healed. Can you recall what happened in Nazareth? Nazareth was resurrected in the book of John, chapter 11 or 12. And at home, Jesus went to Martha's, Mary's family, and Mary poured down a jar of the perfume. At that time, Nazareth just sit beside the table. He did not speak anything. A lot of people from that town gathered together, only for one reason. They want to see Nazareth. Oh, this person died for 4 days and resurrected. Oh, and when they witnessed, Nazareth was there, and they believed. Oh. So, in the book of 1 John, talking about Jesus Christ, 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hand have handled concerning the words of the life. You're talking about the words of life, actually, incarnated to become Jesus Christ. The words of God, the words become the flesh. Jesus Christ came to the world. And since Jesus came to the world, so he is the one you can see, he is the one you can touch, and he is the one you can hear. So if we examine the book of Acts, you can find there are three different ways to be converted into Christ. Some being converted to Christ because they see. Some being converted to Christ because they hear. Some being converted to Christ because they touched. Can you give some example in the book of Acts? Who being converted to Christ because they see, they witness? Who? Later on, you are going to see a lot. How? Who converted to Christ because they hear? Three thousand? Okay. They converted to Christ because they listened and touched. Okay. Besides the 3,000? In the role of wilderness, Philip approached a person, the eunuch. Philip preached personal evangelism, and eunuch listened. Eunuch did not see any miracle, only listened. Oh, and he was convinced, and he was baptized. So listen. Some was converted to Christ because they touched whom? Who? Who was converted to Christ because they touched? Touch means experience. Not because they hear, not because they see the miracle. Personal experience. Paul is an example. Paul was a very, very well-educated person. When Jesus Christ tried to convert him, Jesus did not send a very well-versed person and talk with Paul, talk about a very, very deep, very profound theology, and later on convince Paul. No. Jesus Christ just used a very great light and shine upon Paul. And he fell down and he asked a question. Who are you? I'm the one you persecuted. What should I do? Talk with Jesus Christ. And then he was converted. So when a person comes to the church, you look, this person is very well educated. It not necessarily means you have to talk a very profound theory and talk very deep about theology so this person can be converted. Not necessary in this way. Usually if you talk too much theoretically, they have a lot of different reasons to argue with you. The most powerful way sometimes for a very well-educated person is experience. You kneel down and pray. You experience. God's here. And when they touch the electricity, they know there's power. When they experience the power of God, they know there's God. In 1995, the gospel been preached to Moscow, Russia, the capital of Russia. We had many well-educated members in Russia right nowadays. Because 1991, USSR collapsed. As you know, the USSR, they have a first rate of military, nuclear power. And they have second rate of the the science, the third rate of the economic. So after the collapse, a lot of business opportunity, so a lot of people from China went there. They are all very well educated. And 1995, through the work of a members, and the church was established there. In the beginning, we went there. Most of the church people came from China. They were under education of communism, and communism emphasized everything is material. Now, there is no so-called soul, spirit, eternal life, God. No, everything is material. So when they come to attend the evangelical service, it's very difficult for them to accept, because you open the Bible, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the universe. The whole book is talking about God. So they are very difficult to understand it and to comprehend this. But that time God was working mightily. Almost every true seeker, they came to attend the evangelical service, they will accept and receive the Holy Spirit the first time or the second time. If they do not receive the Holy Spirit in the third time, that true seeker may have some problem. Either they have a cohabitation deep with other women or men, or they have smoking, or they have some personal behavior problem. If they don't have that kind of problem, 1, 2, 3 times they receive Holy Spirit. Very fast. I still recall there was a retired professor from Peking University. She was very smart, and she was also one of the community members. She came to our evangelical service. She was unable to be convinced, difficult to comprehend. But in the last prayer, she came forward and prayed. She felt a mighty power came unto her, and she started speaking tongue. And after prayer, prayed for 30 minutes, and she knew there was God, because she experienced the Holy Spirit. 2 months later, I went to Moscow, and she told me, it's a miracle. I become a devout Christian only 2-3 months. And this sister was converted to our church, not because a lot of people talk about a very profound theology, a very deep theological discussion. No, because she experienced God. God was there. So God has a very, very miraculous way to choose a person. Sometimes it's beyond your imagination. God's work is the best work. So when the true seeker comes, we usually will make a judgment. This person looks very humble. I think this person is very hopeful. Next baptism, maybe he will be the first one. But after studying for a few times, yes, he is very humble, but his heart is very stubborn. And keep on nodding the head. Do you want to be baptized? Yeah, next time, when I'm growing old. But for some true seeker come to the church, you look at the true seeker, this guy is hopeless. But miraculously, next time he is the first one and wrote the name, I want to be baptized. God is a miraculous way to work. Just exactly what happened in the book of Acts. So many people converted Christ. It's beyond your imagination. So when you try to guide some people to the Christ, don't make a prejudgment. it is the one who can make decision. It is not you. We are only an instrument. So when a lot of people saw the hearing of the paralyzed person have been cured by the name of Jesus Christ, they converted to Jesus Christ. Although the testimony was very powerful, full of power, because really the miracle tried to prove the words of God is true. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, what does the Bible say? The last verse of the book of Mark. And don't open the Bible. What is the last verse of the book of Mark? The disciple went out to preach the gospel, and what? The Lord walked with them and confirmed the message with a lot of miracle, wonder, and signs. Today, why we are so confident that the truth we preach is really the complete gospel, the confirmation of the Holy Spirit and mighty miracle and wonders. And also, the miracle happened is to prove the status of the apostle. Especially in verse 5. The status of the apostle. In the 2 Corinthians as well as in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul also mentioned the same thing. Because a lot of people question about Paul's apostleship. How come you say you are apostle? And Paul say, today you become a Christian, that is a proof I am an apostle. The second. You see the miracle, wonder, and sign. God worked mightily through me. That is the apostle. So there must have some sign to show the apostleship. And miracle, wonder, and sign is one of them. So it is the way to prove the status of apostleship. So nowadays, a lot of Christian denomination, they proclaim that it's not necessary to have miracle. Have you heard about this? Yes. A lot of independent churches say there is necessary to have a miracle. Why? Because miracle is supposed to happen in the initial stage of the development of the Christianity. Right now, Christianity has been developed into a very mature status. So no need of miracle. I don't think that kind of opinion is right. If a church really has God, guys working with the church must have the power, just exactly what happened in the apostolic church, to prove the status of the apostle. Four, more people believe in Christ because they witness the power of God in the miracle. So, one of the miracles happened in the church. You can see a lot of fruitful result. So sometimes we have to pray to God. God, please manifest your power in the church. So a lot of people can be edified through the manifestation of your mighty power in miracle, wonder, and signs. In the second Peter, Peter encouraged us, we have to grow in the grace of God and also in the truth. Grow in the grace of God and also in the truth. Growth in the grace of God, one of the ways is the miracle, wonder, and signs. Accompanied with the truth. If you only seek after the truth without experience God's power, God's grace, your faith will become intellectual. That kind of faith is a faith without life. It's a lifeless faith. So sometimes the grace of God, miracle, one time, and signs. Once again, you feel that God is here and God loves us, and God is a living God, and your faith becomes a very lively faith. It's very important. And also, after the miracle happened, the beginning, that was the beginning of persecution. And the purpose of the persecution is try to obstruct the holy work. Chapter 4, verse 18. They arrested the worker of God, and 17, Acts chapter 4. But so that spread no further among the people. Let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus Christ. So persecution is a work of Satan, and he tried to obstruct the holy work. I'm very fortunate today. Do you experience any persecution in your conversion to Christ? I think most of you never experienced any persecution, right? This kind of so serious persecution, no. B. The disciples speak by the power of the Holy Spirit, even under the persecution. The disciple really speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once they feel that God was with them, they have no fear at all. Now, you see Peter, once he was filled by the Holy Spirit, he knew that God was with him, and he stood up, opened the door, and went to the market and started to preach. So the abidance of God is really very essential for a person to preach. Boldly. So this is obey the commandment to Jesus to preach the gospel. The abidance and the help of God, verse chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Okay. Let's come back to the Bible. Chapter 4, verse 2. Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And verse 3. And they laid hand on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Verse 4. However, many of those who heard the words believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. While they were under persecution, the gospel kept on spreading. The members kept on increasing. So, it's a miracle that nobody can stop the words of God. Nobody can stop the expansion of God's kingdom. 1949, communists took over China. For a period of time, Christian has been under great persecution. Until 1980s, is about 40 years later, not only Christian did not decrease, but you can see the number of Christian increased about tenfold. 1949, the members of TJC in China is somewhere around 200,000. But 1995, we have a formal visit there. An official statistic, the member of TJC, almost 2 million, tenfold. Right now, even more. So persecution can never stop the words of God. And if you look into how the people in China spread the gospel, they don't have a central organization called GA to plan and to execute the evangelical work. And how come the gospel preached so mightily? Because Holy Spirit worked by himself. When a person's sick, and a member preached the gospel to him, you have to believe in Jesus, he is a savior. He is the Almighty God. And pray together, the person sick was cured. And he knew Jesus is God. And this sick person went back to his hometown and proclaimed, Jesus is the Savior. He is a mighty power. And there was another person sick and preached the gospel to him or her and prayed, and the sickness was cured. So just like a fire and a blow by wind. Do you know if the fire blow by wind, nobody can stop. No way you can stop. The Holy Spirit is just like a fire. And Holy Spirit also like a wind. So how come the mainland China, the gospel spread so rapidly? Because fire plus the wind. God worked himself mightily. The only one shortcoming, having no organization, is nobody give them training. And nobody can give the church worker a proper training. They experience the words of God. They experience the mighty power of God, but they are not very much understand the Bible in depth. But however, the gospel has been spread out. So, in the apostolic time, you see, even the persecution was very severe, but the numbers keep on increasing. On the other hand, we usually think, if there is no persecution, everybody live a very peaceful life, then that is the best time you preach the gospel. Is that right? It's wrong. According to the unofficial statistic, nowadays, the missionary stationed in developing country, most of them are not coming from the developed country, for like United States or Canada or United Kingdom or France. No. 50 years ago, 80 to 90% of missionaries came from so-called advanced country. But right now, more than half of the missionaries working in the developing country or underdeveloped country are coming from the third world. Come from Hong Kong, from Taiwan, and come from other part of the world. Come from the Korea, something like that. How come this developed country don't have so much missionary right now? Because once your lifestyle become very comfortable, it will take you great determination to go there and stay there. Really, the lifestyle is so different. When you go to the countryside of Kenya, go to the countryside, not the city, the countryside of Nigeria, there was no light. Since there was no light, there was no power. There was no radio, no TV, no electricity, no internet, nothing. The lifestyle is very primitive. So unless you have a very great determination, it will not easy for you to live there long. Maybe it's easier for you to work for God for several weeks, 1 month, 2 months, but to live there for years, that's not easy. So usually we think the easy environment is the easy way to preach the gospel. It's not the same. It's not really in this way. The same thing with our family member. If you feel that your family member is very difficult to convert it, then when your family encounters some kind of crisis, that will be the crucial point to convert your family member. When I say crisis, what does that mean? And maybe one of them sick. Badly, and that will be the point, the very good opportunity to convert a person. There was a brother who was very successful in business, and his wife cared about his salvation very much. Fast and pray for 7.5 years, every morning, fast and pray for 7.5 years. And beginning, the husband say, one day when I have to crawl on the ground, I will go to the church. When he was healthy, he was successful, he felt that he He is everything. So he said, when I crawl on the ground, I'm going to go to church. God listened what he said. 1982, her husband had some kind of, what does that mean? The spine has a small piece of 骨刺. Spine has some problem. So he was really painful. He was unable to stood, and he was in hospital, really something like crawling on the ground. At that time, his stubborn heart softened. The minister preached to him, and he believed. So when the environment becomes very smooth, it's very difficult. When a person encounters great tribulation, persecution, all of a sudden you feel that you are nothing but a human being. You are nothing but a dust. You are very weak. At that moment, all of a sudden, a person will become very soft and easy to receive the gospel. So persecution came to the church in the apostolic time, but holy work was not stopped. Holy work was not stopped, even expand even more rapidly. So we should not be afraid that persecution will stop the progress of the church. Sometimes persecution is a process refinery of the church. You see a congregation for 500 people. It's not necessary all the 500 people are committed to Christ. Especially in the congregation, predominantly are Oriental. They cannot immerse themselves with the American society. Saturday, where to go? Come to the church, a lot of friends, and to talk to. Not really everybody really believes in Jesus, really committed. But when the tribulation comes, you will see those who really want to believe will remain in the church. Those who are not really want to believe, they will go. This same thing happened in 1948. So in the last stage of Jesus' second coming, before Jesus' second coming, they will have a great tribulation. And this is a process of refinery, the baptism of the fire. And those who really want to believe in Jesus will stick their faith. And those who are not is going to leave the church. So chapter 4, they are under persecution. And while they were in persecution, the secret to deal with persecution is to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Ruler of the people and the elder of the Israel, if we this day were judged for a good deed done to be the helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stand here before the whole." So Peter utilized that opportunity to bear testimony for the ruler, for the scribes, for the religious leader, and tell them it is because the mighty power of God, the Jesus Christ you crucified, through his name, this person was made well. This is a very mighty sermon. And verse 11 and 12 is even more precious proclamation. "This is a stone which was rejected by you, builder, which has become the chief cornerstone." Verse 12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under the heaven given among men by which you must be saved." Under the heaven, there is no other name rely on which you can be saved. There is only one name. So you have no other choice. Only one Savior. A lot of founder, but only one Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the only one died for us. He is the only one shed the blood for us. He is the only one can forgive our sin. So he is the only one Savior. A lot of founder of different religion, the Savior is only one. And verse 13, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. So those who persecute them, look at them. How come they preach so boldly, so powerfully? They were uneducated. They were fishermen. They were untrained. How come they speak so eloquent? And later on, they come to a conclusion. What is the conclusion? Verse 13, the data of Mark 13. And they realized they had been with Jesus. They were the apostle of Jesus. They are learning from Jesus Christ. They are filled by the power of Jesus Christ. That is the reason they can do so. So today is the same. That other people recognize we are the one who follow Jesus. Do you know in the church there are some workers are very gifted. No matter where they go, and other people try to imitate them. One day I sit down in the pulpit and listen. A brother was preaching. I look at the brother, I see, oh, he preached exactly, very same with a particular minister. The voice, the tongue, the gesture, everything the same. We look at him, he is the one who follows certain preachers. But in that moment, they look into the apostle. They are the one who follow Jesus Christ. You can see Jesus Christ is so powerful and so priest is so so touching. And Peter, it is the same, exactly the same. Verse 14. And seeing that the man who had been healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. The fact is there. The fact is there. They cannot say nothing against them. So a lot of people say True Jesus Church is a cult. Most of people who say True Jesus Church is a cult, 99% never come to our church. Never really sit down and watch and listen. For those who really come and watch and listen, they have nothing to say. One day we went to San Diego. At that time, we rented a Chinese church to have a service for the members in San Diego. It happened, the pastor of that church, his brother was our full-time minister in mainland China. And because of this connection, so this pastor had very lenient heart. Say, okay, you can never rent any place here. Nobody want to rent to us because of the name of TJC. I will rent to you my chapel. The first time we had a service there, and I'm the one to give the sermon, and the pastor sit there. So after the service, he said, I want to say a few words. Okay, you are welcome. Because this is your chapel, how can we say no? Usually we don't allow any minister from other church to preach in our pulpit because the wrong teaching will become a yeast. He preached 1 hour, maybe it takes you for a few days to clean up the wrong teaching. And this pastor say, a lot of people consider True Jesus Church is a cult, but I don't think so. True Jesus Church only go extreme, it's not a cult. 它不是异端, it's better. He did not consider us as cult, but it's still not good. He considered us someone who go extreme, not balanced, not moderate. Because he only attended one sermon of us. He knew that we pray with tongues. If you attend small services, then he will not have this kind of comment. So when they witness that the person was cured by the name of Jesus Christ, they have nothing to say. They are bound shocked. But even they have nothing to say, they continue to persecute the Christian. So you see verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For they cannot but speak the things which have seen and heard. So they had further threatened them and let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. Since they all glorify God for what has been done because of the people, he did not give them more persecution, because all the people were convinced they are the poor people coming from Jesus Christ. So that was the mighty miracle happened. Then after this miracle happened, and Peter and John went back to the congregation and tell them about the persecution they encountered. And after this, they prayed together, verse 27 and 28. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentile and the people. Verse 29. Now, Lord, look unto their threat, and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak in your words. Verse 30. By straightening your hand and healed, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus Christ. So when they preach, they ask God to give them boldness. They can preach. And at the same time, they ask God to show the mighty miracle and wonder signs so they can break through the persecution. Today is the same. Oh, we have difficulties. In certain part of the world, the difficulty is persecution. In some part of the world, the difficulty is the world, the attraction of the world. So many worldly steps attract you. How can we break through these two difficulties? The mighty miracle of God, the mighty power of God manifest in the church. Now, suppose if today there was a sick person carried and to the church, sick gravely, and we pray, the person was cured. You will see this church will be different. If today there was a person dead before carried for burial and stopped by the church, everybody pray, all of a sudden resurrected, this church will be different. So if the mighty miracle happened in the church is going to revive greatly. So when they pray, ask God to show the mighty miracles. And after they pray, their prayer, what happened? Verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The place they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled by the Holy Spirit. These two are connected together. Because they all filled by the Holy Spirit, so their prayer is very powerful. When God descended in the Mount of Sinai, what happened? In the book of Exodus. When God descended on the Mount of Sinai, what happened? The Israel witnessed fire, thunder, and earthquake. So look at them, they feel fearsome. God really is in among us. So right now we come here, we listen to God. God is here, God is here. But somebody is here, where is God? You keep on saying God is here. If God's mighty miracle happened in here, you witness the miracle, you will know God is here. Everybody start to have a heart of fearing. You will be very fearful to God, submissive to God. So when they finish their prayer, the place was shaken. One day I was preaching this verse and encouraged the church member before the Spirit God came, convocation, let's pray. Pray hard. If the place you are gathering can be shaken, the holy work will be shaken up. After the prayer, after the sermon, one of the brothers came to me and said, "Preacher, your interpretation is wrong." What is wrong? He said, "It's impossible. The place where we are gathering will be shaken." Then I asked him, "Then what do you explain this verse?" He said, "Because everybody was filled by the Holy Spirit, they vibrate heavily. So when they stood up, their head is a little bit dizzy. So when they stood up, a dizzy heart, they feel the place was shaken." Then I said, "Let me go back and I examine carefully. I bring different kind of version, even Greek, English version, and make comparison. The translation is right. The place they gathered was shaken. If there is God, and God is so mighty, God can do everything possible. how can it not possible the place we get shaken? Even in our church, in many occasions, the prayer is so powerful. And they feel that it seems the building is shaken. It's happened in Hawaii, in some other location. Really, they feel a wind blow on them during the spiritual convocation. When the wind blow on them, every tongue is changing. The wind blow to this direction, the brother in that side, the tongue changed. The wind blow to that direction, the tongue changed. Even a particular moment, the worker of God really was with God. So when the worker walked through particular location, the people in there, the tongue changing. When the people, the worker walk back this side of the members, the tongue changing. Really, it's mighty in our church. So TJC is God's body, Jesus Christ's body. The only thing we have to rely on is pray hard to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And the power of God will be with us. Then you can see God's work will be different. Let's pray in silence. Amen. We rest for 10 minutes, 10, 15, 25.